There was a time when Jews, weary accused of poisoning wells, spreading plague, murdering Christian children for ritual purposes and concealing monstrous moral depravity beneath a civilized exterior. The details changed by century and geography. The structure rarely did, and one of the most uncomfortable truths about those episodes is that the accusations were never sustained solely by illiterate mobs or obvious fanatics. Clergy repeated them, intellectuals rationalized them, political elites circulated them, many people who may not have fully believed the claims, found them useful enough to amplify or excuse. Which brings us, absurdly, but predictably, to the latest anti-Israel atrocity narrative entering mainstream Western discourse. The allegation that Israel trained dogs to rape Palestinian prisoners. Not anonymous Telegram channels, not neo-Nazi forums, not David Duke pamphlets, prestige journalism, including amplification from the New York Times, the supposed paper of record. In any healthy intellectual culture, the allegation would have been laughed out of an editor's office within minutes. Not because abuse allegations should be dismissed categorically, but because this specific claim collapses under basic anatomy, animal behavior, and common sense. Experts in canine behavior noted the allegation was effectively impossible. Anyone remotely familiar with military working dogs understood immediately that this belonged in the realm of medieval grotesque fantasy, not serious reporting. Instead, much of the media ecosystem approached it the way anti-Israel allegations are routinely approached. Emotional receptivity first, skepticism later. If skepticism arrives at all. Critics quickly noted that the broader New York Times reporting about alleged systematic prisoner abuse rested on weak sourcing, activist-linked amplification chains, and recycled disinformation networks that had already circulated anti-Israel fabrications involving organ theft and other lurid claims. Analysts also pointed to the absence of corroborating forensic evidence despite the severity of the accusations. Yet the allegation still traveled globally because it fit a familiar moral template. Jews, now embodied collectively as Israel, cast as uniquely sadistic and monstrous. Wars produce propaganda, manipulated imagery, exaggeration, and lies. But allegations against the Jewish state now routinely bypass the filtration system supposedly governing journalism, humanitarian discourse, and elite opinion. The more grotesque the allegation, the faster this often happens. The Jenin massacre in 2002 remains one of the clearest examples. At the time, the world was flooded with slaughter claims. Palestinian officials threw around casualty figures in the hundreds. Saeb Erekat initially spoke of 1,000 dead before revising downward to 500. Commentators, NGOs, diplomats, and editorial boards adopted the language of massacre long before investigators entered the camp. The actual death toll ultimately turned out to be roughly 54 Palestinians. The overwhelming majority combatants affiliated with terror organizations such as Islamic Jihad, alongside 23 Israeli soldiers killed in brutal house-to-house combat. Nothing remotely resembling the industrial slaughter sold to the world, but the correction came after the emotional verdict hardened. With Israel, the accusation matters more than the correction. The same pattern repeated after the Al-Ahli hospital explosion in Gaza in October 2023. Within minutes, major international outlets declared that Israel had bombed a hospital and killed 500 civilians. The number alone should have triggered skepticism. No credible forensic assessment producing anything close to 500 fatalities could possibly have been completed within minutes. It did not matter. Demonstrations erupted worldwide, diplomats condemned Israel, editorials appeared, moral judgments hardened instantly. Subsequent intelligence assessments, intercepted communications, blast analysis, and video evidence pointed instead to a failed Palestinian rocket, likely from Islamic Jihad, that struck a parking area rather than the hospital itself. The likely death toll was dramatically lower, reportedly several dozen or fewer. Again, the correction arrived after the narrative had conquered the world. Then came the famine libel. To be clear, post-October 7, 2023, Gaza has experienced severe wartime hardship and disruption. No serious person denies that. But what increasingly emerged in Western discourse was the assertion that Israel was deliberately engineering genocidal starvation. That claim was often treated not as an extraordinary allegation requiring overwhelming evidence, but as settled fact. Meanwhile, contrary context received little attention: Hamas theft and diversion of aid, massive quantities of food entering Gaza, failures of internal distribution, fluctuating famine projections, political incentives shaping NGO narratives, and discrepancies between apocalyptic claims and available supply data. Researchers examining aid figures noted that caloric deliveries into Gaza frequently exceeded famine threshold requirements on paper, even while looting, corruption, distribution failures, and Hamas interference distorted internal access. Analysts also documented repeated cases in which catastrophic famine projections were quietly and materially revised downward after receiving sensational coverage. Perhaps nothing captured this pathology more clearly than the now-famous New York Times photograph of an emaciated-looking Palestinian child presented globally as emblematic proof of Israeli-engineered starvation. The image spread because it perfectly satisfied the emotional architecture of the accusation: skeletal child, evil Jews, deliberate starvation. A medieval archetype repackaged for Instagram feeds, NGO campaigns, and Pulitzer juries. Only later did crucial context emerge. The child suffered from severe congenital medical conditions that dramatically affected his appearance and development. In wider images excluded from the iconic framing, his mother and siblings did not resemble famine victims at all. They actually appeared well-fed. That omitted context fundamentally changed the image's meaning. Yet by then the image had already fulfilled its purpose. And astonishingly, rather than becoming a cautionary tale about emotional manipulation and journalistic failure, the work was elevated within elite media culture itself. The photographer received a Pulitzer Prize for what was, in effect, emotionally manipulative propaganda built around misleading framing. That is what should frighten people, not propaganda, which every conflict produces, but the inability or unwillingness of major institutions to apply ordinary skepticism to allegations involving Israel, especially allegations portraying Jews as sadistic, malevolent, and inhuman. Over time, the catalog of crazy anti-Israel claims becomes surreal. Israel trained sharks to attack Egyptian tourists. Israel released wild boars into Palestinian villages. Israel kills to harvest organs. Israel poisons food and water. Israel intentionally targets children as policy. Israel commits genocide, while simultaneously warning civilians to evacuate combat zones, facilitating aid convoys, and supporting polio vaccinations for hundreds of thousands of Gazan children during an active war. Some allegations are obviously deranged. Others arrive wrapped in the sterile language of NGOs, human rights reports, casualty modeling, and selectively framed imagery. Blood libels were never about evidence. They were about moral conditioning, preparing societies to see Jews as uniquely sinister, corrupting, and deserving of suspicion. And historically, that process was rarely led by mobs at the outset. It was legitimized first by educated society. Clergy who treated grotesque accusations as morally plausible, intellectuals who only raised questions, political elites who found the hysteria useful, and respectable institutions convinced they were merely reporting on serious concerns. Medieval blood libels did not become historically catastrophic because peasants whispered them in alleys. They became catastrophic because influential people validated them, because scholars, clerics, and ruling classes failed to extinguish obvious lies and instead granted them legitimacy, circulation, and prestige. In medieval Europe, an accusation was that Jews poisoned wells. In 2026, the accusations include that the Jewish state engineers famine, trains rape dogs, and deliberately murders children. Which leads to a key question for much of today's media and institutional class: do they understand the historical tradition into which they are now stepping? Because history does not remember kindly the respectable people who mainstreamed blood libels. It remembers them as the people who normalized civilizational madness one allegation at a time. Micah Danzig served in the Israeli army and is a former police officer with the NYPD. He is currently an attorney and is very active with numerous Jewish and pro-Israel organizations, including Stand With Us and the FIDF, and is a national board member of Harut North America.